Oneida County District Attorney Scott McNamara, the alleged shooter of Deputy Kurt Wyman.
Yes.
Has been arraigned.
Yes, he has.
And describe the circumstances that went into that, because the Judge Dwyer arraigned him, correct?
Sure, yeah. What happened was his health got to a point where he was conscious, he was capable of understanding what was going on, but he was not capable of leaving the hospital. He's in the sheriff's department's custody, and by law, he has to be arraigned within a reasonable period of time mm-hmm. after being taken into custody. The law provides for emergency surgery, and obviously if somebody's unconscious. But once you start getting past that point, you have to be able to justify why somebody's in your custody and hasn't been arraigned. And we had went for about, I would say, a four-day period where we were under the belief that his health was getting to the point where he might be released. So that would have made it pretty simple. We would mm-hmm. just take him to court like we do anybody else. When I think it was the fourth day came about that we saw that he was not going to be released and he was, you know, in a situation where we felt that he could be arraigned, we started to figure out what we were going to do as our, you know, our backup plan, so to say. And so what ended up happening was we had done the research on it, and it's quite an interesting, although probably not to most of the listeners, but in the legal sense, it's interesting, kind of a loophole in the law. The crime was committed in the town of Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Augusta, obviously, is a town. The judge in the town of Augusta, her name is Jackie Workup, is married to a deputy sheriff.
Yes, yeah. I heard this from a couple different people.
Right. So that created an issue with us, first of all, because we don't want anything in the case to have the appearance of impropriety. And although I think she had done some research with the Judicial Magistrates Association that they believed it probably wouldn't be a conflict, it does have the appearance of a conflict. And so we just, when I say we, the district attorney's office just said, we can take them to any town judge. Let's stay away from that town mm-hmm. judge and let's go to a different one. The next thing that happened was we had a look at, can a town judge arraign him outside of their jurisdiction? And the answer is no. And St. Elizabeth's Hospital is in the city of Utica.
Right.
So we have no town. So the next question is, can you use a city court judge? And when we did the research on that, you can't. A city court judge can't arraign somebody for a crime that takes place in a town. So we couldn't use a city court judge. The next thing that we looked at, is there any way that we can get some other judge to arraign it? And there is, under the law, there is a section of the law that allows for a superior court judge, which would be like a Supreme Court judge or a county court judge, to sit as a local court judge, and they can arraign somebody any place in the county for a crime committed any place in the county. So that's how Judge Dwyer got involved. He didn't arraign the defendant as a county court judge. He arraigned him as a lower court judge, and he has countywide jurisdiction over anybody that commits a crime countywide. So that's how Judge Dwyer got in the mix of it.
So who's going to be hearing, presiding over the actual trial?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you, because what happens next is there's a hearing. The hearing was scheduled for today at 3:00. That's been adjourned for 1 week. Now it's scheduled, 11:00. It's scheduled for next Wednesday, which I'm pretty sure is the 6th of July at 11:00. Right now it's tentatively scheduled for Floyd Town Court. That's with the assumption that Mr. Patterson will be released from the hospital by that point. And then the next step after that is the case would be presented to a grand jury. Assuming that the grand jury returns an indictment against Mr. Patterson, what happens then is the county court clerk's office assigns a judge. So we don't know in advance what judge gets assigned. And, you know, it could be Judge Donnelly, it could be Judge Dwyer, but we don't know until after the arraignment, after the indictment's filed.
So it sounds like you guys have been really careful on making sure that everything's followed by the book, and even if it's not a conflict, you want to kind of stay away from it.
Well, we do that in all cases, but in this case, I would say we're being extremely cautious. That's the least that we can do for Kurt and his family. Obviously this is the third police officer killed in our county in the last 5 years. you know, these cases do get a lot of media attention. The last thing we want to do is make a mistake that's going to create some sort of issue on an appeal. And, you know, I know in, like in Joe Kaur's case, I remember initially his sentence got reduced. He's still serving 25 to life, the gentleman that was involved in that. So, you know, we try not to, do anything that's going to create a problem down the road. And, you know, we're always extra careful on all cases, but, you know, these type of cases especially.
Right. And will you be handling this case?
No. Mike Calusa and Lori Lisi are assigned to this case. Mike and Lori tried Wesley Molina involving Tommy Lindsay's homicide. So I assigned Mike to, and then he asked Lori to help him. So it's, you know, they're two of the best prosecutors in the DA's office.
I had a question. Was somebody, I was out on, you know, having a slice of pizza across the street, and somebody came up and they were talking, and they said, well, how can this guy not be, you know, guilty already? You know, we have several. And I said, well, you know, it's the United States of America still.
Right,
We're still, we have to face trials and everything. But he can't automatically plead guilty. Is it for the charge, right?
Well, he could after he's indicted.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand. Right now, he's charged with what's called a felony complaint, which a felony complaint is basically a document that the police file that charges him with committing a crime. And he then is initially arraigned on that felony complaint in a lower court. The lower court has no jurisdiction to accept a plea. They can't accept a plea. So what ends up happening is a technical not guilty plea is entered, but the lower court cannot accept a plea from him. And their only purpose in a felony is to, one, set bail if they can, and in this case they can't set bail, and they can't. And then in the second thing that they have to do is hold the hearing to determine whether or not there's reasonable cause to believe a crime's been committed and the person that is charged committed that crime. So, right at this point, if he wanted to, he couldn't plead guilty because there's no jurisdiction. Judge Dwyer, as a local criminal court, has no jurisdiction to accept a guilty plea. Once he's indicted, yes, he could walk into court and plead guilty. In essence, that's kind of what Adam Thiel did a year ago.
Right, yeah.
He, after his lawyer was, you know, felt that he had counseled him and done all the things that his lawyer thought that he needed to do to ensure that there wouldn't be an appeal on that case for ineffective assistance of counsel, he was allowed to plead guilty. So it happens once in a while. I don't know if it would happen in this case. I would highly doubt it. The punishment's life imprisonment without parole.
Yeah.
He's got nothing to lose by going to trial.
Would you support capital punishment in this case?
Yes. Yes. I've said that. I think capital punishment should be reserved for very few crimes. I don't think we should execute everybody, that commits a homicide.
Yeah.
But a situation like this, I do believe that that should be something that we should be able to consider. I mean, it's really too bad what we've faced in this county, and you know, there's no excuse for any of these police officers being killed. And for that matter, last year we had another one shot. We've had a couple attacked.
Yeah.
It was unheard of when I started in the DA's office, 19 years ago. And now, unfortunately, it seems like it's happening every year.
And I think capital punishment would be a good deterrent for criminals to take shots at cops or to kill an officer in the line of duty.
I would think so.
And, you know, I talked to elected officials throughout the state and on the federal level, and they seem to agree. So how can we get this, like, is it just...
It sounds like you've got the senator coming in later on. You should talk to him.
I do.
Actually, he has... I had, a couple years ago, drafted legislation for something that we thought was a problem, and actually we did it right after one of the Utica police officers was attacked. And I know Senator Griffo put forth that legislation. I know it has got past the Senate. I don't think it's ever made it through the Assembly, but it's a law that would increase the punishment for people who assault police officers and don't cause physical injury, which... You know, sometimes, fortunately, happens.
Yeah.
The police officers are able to defend themselves, but the fact that they're attacked should have an increased penalty. And I know some people say, well, why just police officers? And I understand that argument. However, and I believe in our society, if you don't have law and order, if you don't have the police being able to control society, then we don't have any type of law and order in our country. And we see that in other countries. So, you know, that's really something that I hope that the Assembly and the Senate really considers.
Niagara County District Attorney Scott McNamara, thanks so much. And, man, God bless you for, because all that stuff, I would be confused on a daily basis. That's why I'm not a lawyer. That's why I sit here and let you guys explain everything. So thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.